Praise God. If you have your Bibles here this morning, I want to turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 25. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter number 25. Amen. We'll begin reading it. Verse number one. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Amen. Samuel died. Israelites were gathered together, and they buried him in his house at Ramah. Praise God. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning, amen, about the day the preacher died. Amen. The day the preacher died. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us here this morning. God of heaven, we love you. We worship. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. Amen. I am thankful that one day God sent a preacher by my way to preach to me about this soul-saving message. A message that would stir my heart. A message that would stir me up out of my wrongdoings, my ways, my mindsets, my thoughts, my agendas, my preconceived ideas. A preacher that was able to get into my business and able to get into my mind, beginning to use the Word of God to discern the very thoughts of my mind, beginning to use the Word of God to portray and to make manifest the very ways and the thoughts and the considerations of my heart. Amen. As you have heard before, he didn't soft soap it for me to just go home the same way that I was, but there was a message that was able to capture my attention and to get me to an altar of repentance. And we need men of God that are capable, men of God that are sent by God, that are not intimidated by the world's current fashions and monies and spirits, but men that will preach without fear and without favor, staying tuned in to the heavenly and having the mind of God. I just want you to know today that if you don't want to go to hell, if there is a place that would strike fear in your heart, a place that you would say, I don't want to go there, and that place would be hell, then you had better pray that the man of God is going to get beyond you and your personal feelings and find the mind of God for your life. A man that'll preach without fear and favor. He's not intimidated by your looks. He's not intimidated by positions. He's not intimidated by monies. He's not intimidated by anything, but yet he will preach unto you, hoping and praying to save your soul. Praise God. Amen, amen. I understand and know that many would be oblivious and unknowing to the thoughts and the pressures that a preacher would feel and go through. And some would say, I think that those preachers just become preachers so they can stand up and tell everybody what to do and what not to do. I just wish it was that easy. I was speaking to my uncle, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, and I said, you know, in the position that I'm in, we were talking about our health and such. I said, you know, in the position that I am in, I said, you know, a lot of my friends and a lot of those that I know of have suffered their first heart attacks in their 40s and following heart attacks in 50s and stents and such, and having to retire even in their 50s and such because of such bad conditions and the stress that is there. He began to understand that, and I went a little bit further. I said, it's more than just dealing with people. It's more than just having to talk to people and to help people and such. I said, it's the stress of knowing that their souls are in your hands, and that you can say things that would cause them to be lost, or you can say something that would cause them to be saved. And it's my desire to say things that would cause people to be saved. Not all the time is it fun and is it glorious, but I do understand that the rewards, amen, are going to be worth it all when we're standing on streets of gold together and worshiping God. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. You yourself may not know every time that you grieve God due to the carnal ways that you may living and becoming more familiar with carnality rather than spirituality. And you may not know when you have sinned against God and grieved God every time because of the lack of the understanding of the Word of God. Amen. So it is important to take the time to pray and ask God to deal with you and to deal with the man of God in your life. There ought to be a prayer within you, and I pray that there is. Amen. That you would say that no matter who is preaching today, God, let them preach to me. Let them preach to me. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to burn in an eternity in a lake of fire forever, knowing that there was a way, but somebody didn't tell me. Or knowing that there was a way, and I turned my ears off and would not hear them. That I came close enough to the gates of heaven that I kissed them, but yet went to hell. Oh, preacher, preach me into the altars. Preach me into repentance. Preach me into the pearly gates. Preach me out of hell. Arrest my attention. Talk to me. Help me. But don't let me go to hell. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. I want you to be reminded that very, very seldom, amen, that God ever go down to a man and deal with a man without a preacher. Amen. Even Noah, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and God moved upon Noah to preach for the next 100 years about righteousness and about the things of God and to get on that ark. Amen. We could take the time to go talk about other preachers. We could talk about that God's desire to destroy Nineveh, but before that he would ever destroy it, he sent a preacher that way to preach to them a message of repentance. John came and began to preach a message of repentance. Jesus came and preached a message of repentance. Amen. And he handed it down unto Peter and to Paul and to the rest of the apostles to preach a message of repentance. You don't need to feel good in your sins. You don't need to be made feel good about where you are if you're wrong. You don't need, amen, to be able to sit still and to sit unintimidated. I'm not here to intimidate. Amen. But the devil would try to cause you to be rocked to sleep, to be unconcerned about your soul. And that's why you've got to have a trumpet that would sound loud in your life and say, hey, my friend, if you don't wake up, you're on the wrong road and you're going the wrong way. If you don't listen to me, you're going to walk out. If you don't hear the voice of God, you're going to backslide. If you don't listen to the voice of God, you're going to be lost and you're going to go to hell forever. God, send us preachers in this day and time that'll lift up their voice like a trumpet and preach. It might be a little bit offensive, but if it takes offending me, preacher, offend me, but get me to heaven. Amen, amen, amen. Get me to heaven, get me to heaven. Praise God. Contrary to all of that, I'm not preaching to you today about a preacher that stands behind a pulpit preaching to you Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Not preaching about a preacher that would teach Bible studies Tuesday night, encourage you to come to church Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'm not talking about that preacher today. I'm talking about a different preacher that you're more understanding of, know more of, more acquainted with. Frequent visits are had with you and this preacher more often than ever. The preacher that I'm preaching about this morning never is going to feel a pulpit, but yet he is going to preach the most convicting messages to you that you're ever going to hear. This preacher will never be caught beside you, but yet you will never be able to get away from this one. This preacher is the most faithful preacher, the most dedicated preacher, the most knowing preacher in the entire world. The greatest preacher, the most phenomenal, all-inspiring preacher that you will ever have and will ever hear. I'm talking about the preacher of your conscience. Amen. It is your conscience that is there to prevent you from going to sleep at night, falling into that deep sleep so easily when you're not right with God. And oh, you better pray that that preacher is loud and clear in your ears. Amen. That preacher is there to awaken you in the late hours of the night or in the early mornings of the day when your soul is not right with God. That preacher is there to bring things to your mind, to your memory constantly as you lay there at night thinking to yourself, I just wish I could go to sleep. But your conscience is saying, why did you do what you did? Why did you say what you said? Why did you go where you go? Amen. That conscience is saying, you know you're not right. You know you need to repent. And it doesn't matter when you pull your pillow up over your head and try to snuff out the voice of that preacher that is in your mind. He just won't go away. When you go to sleep, he's there tapping you on the shoulder, reminding you, you didn't do this day right. You didn't go through this day right. That preacher is there in your mind every day as you go through the day. And when you say things that you ought not to say, that preacher is there saying, you don't need to say that. Amen. When you wear what you ought not to wear, that preacher is there saying, you don't need to be wearing that. That preacher is there when you go where you shouldn't go. And the preacher is saying, you know better than all of this. Amen. Your pastor doesn't know as much as your conscience knows. Amen. The evangelist will never know as much as your conscience knows. Your conscience is as close to Jesus as no one ever thing about you. Amen. It's just the fact that God knows
what you are capable of. He knows the intents of the heart. And your conscience is sitting there saying, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't wear that. Don't say that. And forever you're sitting there saying to yourself, I just wish my conscience would just quit it. Just be silent. Just allow me to go to sleep for a while. Praise God. Amen. Your conscience knows every idle word, even that goes through your mind. And you begin to think to yourself, I shouldn't have thought the things that I thought. That's your conscience preaching to you. That's your conscience, amen, like a bad hangover, amen, with a hammer hammering on a red iron column. Bang, bang, bang. And you're thinking, just please stop. Just please go away. Just please quit. And that conscience seems to recede back into the recesses of your mind. Amen. But before long, as you begin to progress further into the life that you know is not right, amen, here comes that conscience full bore. Amen. Like a rage and fire. And slowly, I want you to know, you can tune out the pastor. You can tune out the evangelist. You can tune out the young preachers. You can tune out special speakers. You can even quit coming to church. And you can fulfill a backslidden condition. But you will never be able to get your conscience to stop preaching to you. I want you to know that if you walk out of the house of God, amen, and try to be happy, you're going to be a miserable backslider, because you know what is right and what is wrong, and you won't be able to do anything without your conscience saying, you ought not be doing that. You ought not be going here. You ought not be saying that. You don't need to get comfortable with that. And if you could turn around and look at your conscience, you would point your finger in its face and you would say, I'm no longer like that. I no longer do that. I no longer go there. I no longer am like that. And your conscience, undefiled, is going to say, but you know it's the truth. You know you still shouldn't. Amen. No matter how much you plug your ears and cover your eyes and choose to ignore the preacher that is in your mind, the preacher that is connected to your soul is just not ever going to leave you alone.
A preacher isn't looking over your shoulder, looking at everything that you look at. The preacher isn't looking over your shoulder, reading everything that you're reading. The pastor is not sitting beside you at school, going to work with you on the job. The pastor does not live in your home, no matter how much sometimes you think that he may. How did he know that? He must have speakers. He must have microphones in my house. I don't know. Pastor doesn't live at your house. Pastor doesn't know oftentimes what you're listening to in your vehicle. Pastor doesn't hear conversations that nobody else is supposed to hear. Pastor doesn't know all of the things that I do, all the things done in secret. Pastor doesn't know any of those things. But yet your conscience hounds you like a bloodhound on a raccoon's trail, unwilling and unrelenting to let go. And he's there following you around. And you reach out to touch it, and your conscience says, don't do it. And you reach out to text it, and your conscience says, don't do it. and you think to say it, and you open your mind, and your conscience says, uh-uh. Amen. And you go to do this and you go to do that, and your conscience is sitting there saying, you know better than this, you know better than that. And you're just thinking to yourself, I just wish you'd shut up. I just wish you would quit. I just wish you would go away. Just leave me alone. Amen. Leave me. I'm telling you, friend, today there are things that we are supposed to do. And there are things that, excuse me, that we are not supposed to do. The Bible is extremely emphatically clear in all of this. Exodus chapter number 20. Amen. The Bible teaches us even beyond all of that, that where sin hath abounded, grace did much more abound. And sin has exploded into our world. There used to be just one law. That's it. Just one law. Don't eat of the forbidden fruit. That's it. Amen. And then there were 10 laws and the 10 commandments. And the 10 commandments exploded into over 600, amen, commandments given unto the children of Israel. And it's just on. But just the 10. If you just follow the one, then everything would be okay. Exodus chapter number 20. Amen. The Bible began to say like this: thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven and images or likeness, amen, like me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. He said you're to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Amen. There were things, amen, that the Lord was telling his people, don't be associated with that. And there was a time that God stood at the mountain and he proclaimed this. But when he didn't proclaim this, there was the mouth of the preacher that began to proclaim it in the exact same words with a different voice. And when there was no preacher, there was a conscience that every time somebody went to steal something, that conscience was there saying, you know you shouldn't be stealing. When you got ready to lie, that conscience was saying, you know better than that. You need to tell the truth. I can't make it to church today, but you can make it to other places. I can't go tonight. I'm sick, but yet you can go to other places. Amen. Yeah, all these things began to happen, and your conscience is sitting there saying, you know you should not have done that. You know you should not have gone there. Amen. In the New Testament, the Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He said, be not deceived, for fornicators aren't going to heaven. Idolaters aren't going unto heaven. Adulterers aren't going to heaven. Effeminate's not going to make a heaven. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Thieves aren't going to heaven. Covetous people aren't going to heaven. Drunkards and revilers and extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. God said, you want to go to heaven? You got to come out from among them. You want to go to heaven? You can't do these things. You want to go to heaven? You cannot be comfortable, familiar, and practicing these things. Everybody has laws. Families have laws. They just call them rules. Job sites have laws. It doesn't matter what environment you work in. You work in the office or work in construction field. It doesn't matter. You can work in the logging industry. And there are rules and laws. Why shouldn't heaven, the most glorious, grand place that you and I, amen, have done nothing and really to inherit. But God said, if you'll do this, I'll bring you home. That's grace. That's mercy, friend.
Amen. But I want to take this a step further, because there is a mentality. There is a mentality that is trying to step into and has stepped into religion, but it's trying to make its way into the apostolic Pentecostal realm. And I want to just nip it in the bud here today. Amen. Because there's this mentality, amen, that fornication isn't going to enter into heaven, and adultery isn't going to enter into heaven, and lies aren't going to enter into heaven. And effeminacy is not going to enter into heaven. I want you to know you're 100% correct in that assessment. But the Bible does not talk about the actions. Amen. It does not say, amen, be not deceived, that the unrighteous, amen. He used a noun there. It could be an adjective, but it's used in the noun form. He said the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then when he went further, he didn't say actions. He talked about the people of it. He said adulterers aren't going to. You see, there's this mindset. Well, I can be an adulterer and I can commit adultery and I can just repent of adultery and I'll be fine. I can just repent of fornication, or I can commit fornication, but God knows my heart and I'll be okay. I can drink, but God knows my heart and I'm not. There's no alcohol going to be in heaven, but you know, sinners are going to be saved. Amen. I just want you to know that the reason that there's not going to be any adultery in heaven is because there's going to be no adulterers in heaven. Amen. He said all liars. He didn't just say all lies, but he said all liars. He didn't say just fornication. He said fornicators. He didn't say just those that would practice effeminacy, but he said all of the effeminate. He didn't just say, amen, drunken stupors, but he said drunkards. Shall not inherit. Don't be deceived. Don't lie to yourself and say that you're going to be okay. Don't lie to yourself and say, well, I'll be all right. You're not going to be all right. God said you're not going to be all right. He said the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But you're sitting there debating your conscience and telling your conscience, oh, it's going to be okay. And your conscience is saying, it's not going to be okay. You've got to stop. No adulterers in heaven. But it's okay if I gossip. There's not going to be any gossipers in heaven. And the list goes on and on. And the devil would say, oh, you're going to be okay. And your conscience is telling you, you're not okay. And finally you get to that place that you've had enough of your conscience. You've had enough of that conscience. And you turn around and with the fist closed, you throw a haymaker straight at that conscience. And you knock him down to the ground. And he's bruised. And you think that'll teach him. And you go on about your way. And that conscience climbs up off of the floor. And faithful to you, he comes crawling back into your mind. He says, don't do it. Don't do it. And you turn around so sick of your conscience preaching to you that you lash out at it and you kick it and you scratch its face and you pull its hair and you punch him and you break bones and you throw him on the ground and you kick him while he's down and you try to go on about your way. You see, that's what Samuel did. I'm sorry, that's what Saul did. That's what Saul did. Samuel was Saul's conscience. Samuel would come around and he would say, Saul, you need to do this. And as the preacher, Samuel would come around and he would say, you need to kill all the Amalekites. And Saul would think to himself, I'm going to do what I want to do. And not only am I going to do what I want to do, I'm going to justify doing what I'm doing. I'm going to say that I did it because for sacrificial reasons. Or I'm going to say I didn't know. Or I'm going to say I didn't think it really mattered. And so Saul goes out against the Amalekites. And he kills those that he wants to kill. And he saves those that he wants to save. He kills the animals that he wants to kill. And saves the animals that he wants to save. He comes back to where he knows that the preacher's going to show up. Straightens his clothes up and acts all religious and pious. And Samuel this time comes back as his conscience. Saul, why didn't you do what I told you to do or what God told you to do? Saul begins to lie. Oh, I did. I did exactly what I was told to do. Saul's conscience says, then why do I hear the lowing, the crying and the bleeding of the sheep? Now Saul has to begin to justify lies, justify actions. Oh, I save the best for sacrifice. That conscience would say, Saul, is that what you were supposed to do? And why is Agag still alive? Oh, it's the people's fault. Pointing fingers. And Saul's conscience just wouldn't shut up. Samuel wasn't with Saul saying, now kill that one, and kill that one, and kill that one. Take care of that. Preacher is not in your home saying, take care of this. Get this out. Do away with this. The preacher's not at your job saying, hey, you shouldn't do that. But your conscience is. Your conscience is like a bad hair day that won't go away. You go and to your house and everything that ought not be in your house just all of a sudden turns red and glowing. Your conscience is saying, what are you going to do with that? You know you shouldn't have that. Get rid of that. Do away with that. And you just ignore it. And every time you ignore your conscience, you're just punching it in the face, scratching at his eyes, kicking him in the knees. On the ground, you're kicking him in the ribs. Slowly killing that preacher that's in your mind. At nighttime, you go to bed and that conscience all of a sudden starts up. Kind of like, and you think to yourself, no, not you again. Just go away. I'll deal with it tomorrow. Your conscience says, what if there is no tomorrow? Oh, there'll be tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. But what if? What if there is no tomorrow? Just go away. What if you die before you wake up? I'm not going to die before I wake up. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to go to work tomorrow and there's church on Tuesday. I'll take care of it then. But what if you die in a car wreck? That's crazy. There's not enough car wrecks. That's just like what? 0.5% of people would die. You know, that's not going to be. That ain't going to happen. Can't happen. But your conscience just won't stop. Just leave me alone. Let me go to sleep. Finally fall off to sleep. 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, you wake up. Lo and behold, that's that conscience. All of a sudden, immediately, talking to you. You know you're wrong. Hush. You know you're lost. You're going to go to hell if you don't repent. You're going to go to hell if you don't get right. Stop it. I'll be okay. But you're not. You're not okay. And you're not going to be saved. You're going to be lost. For God's sake, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Just let me get some rest. That's not your pastor on your phone talking to you. I don't know that I've texted any of you at 4 o'clock in the morning telling you, hey, you're not right. You need to repent. But your conscience does. Your conscience won't stop. And even while I'm preaching, you're sitting there wrestling against your conscience as your conscience is saying, I told you so. If you would have just listened to me, you wouldn't have to sit here in such condemnation, and you're sitting there batting that preacher down. You can't make the pastor be quiet yet. That conscience is just preaching to you, and you're just batting him down. Hush! Conscience saying, but it's true. I tried to tell you so. Samuel, go away! Saul, what are you doing? What does it look like I'm doing? Kind of looks like you're sinning. I'm not sinning, I'm offering sacrifice. That's not what God said. God said you're not supposed to do that. It's sacrifice. It's sacrifice. Hush. Go away. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I don't want to hear that. Get out. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Would you just stop? One day Samuel did. He stopped. As a matter of fact, he died. He died. Huh. You know what? You can think to yourself, oh, that preacher of mine, that conscience of mine is finally dead. I don't hear him like I used to hear him all the time. I can do what I want to do now, and it's so easy because that preacher's finally done. I don't hear him like I used to. I finally beat him down so much, ignored him so much, kicked him, scratched him, bit him. I finally don't hear him anymore. And then you look and you say, oh, that's three. He died. Well, the Bible says that they buried him in his house. You may think that you get away from your conscience, but there's memories of that preacher that you'll never, ever get away from. His epitaph is going to sit there in your living room on your wall of your mind. His tombstone is going to be right there where you see it every day. My conscience died. February the 22nd, 2026. My conscience died. There'll be a date that was there. But even in death, he yet speaks. You're not going to be a happy sinner. You might actually be a good sinner, but you ain't going to be a happy sinner. Oh, there'll be pleasure for a season. For a season. You can't get away from it. I drove up to the Wendy's drive-thru. And a young lady came to take my money. And she said, oh, you must just be one of those that's getting out of church. I said, I am. She said, you're not the first one through here tonight. There's been others that's come through tonight. And I said, well, good. Maybe the Lord's talking to you. Handed her a church card. She said, oh, I know where that church is. I used to go to that church. Really? Why don't you come back? She said, I still remember. Remember. It don't get away. You may walk out the doors, but you don't get away. She's in her late teens now. She said, I remember. You don't get away from anything. I remember the puppets. Said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. With Brother Charlie and Sister Stacy. Yeah, yeah. I remember them. I said, they're still there. There's a lot of things that you remember. You don't get away from it. You know how many times I've heard the stories of and I've listened to people on their deathbeds talk about the things that they remember about the house of God, the things of God. Backsliders dying, trying to get right with God before they pass on out of the world. Why? Because that conscience, even yet though he is dead, he yet speaks. I thought I got rid of you a long time ago. It's yet there. Yet there. There came a time in Saul's life that he wanted the preacher. Oh, where's that preacher? I'm in a moment of heartache and distress right now. Where's the preacher? He's dead, Saul. Surely not. I mean, I remember when he died. I remember all of that, but where's the preacher? He's not around anymore, Saul. He's got to be. He's got to be. He's got to tell me what to do. Well, you didn't want to hear what he had to say before. He's got to tell me how to act. He used to try to tell you how to act, and you didn't want to hear it. He used to tell me what to do. Yeah, he tried, but you didn't want to do it. I want to do it now. I want to hear him now. Where? What can I do? I got to have a preacher. I got to have. And what did he do? He resorted to witchcraft to try to raise that preacher up one more time. And he fell upon his face as a witch of Endor tried to raise up Samuel from the grave. The spirit of Samuel would come and said, what are you doing, Saul? And here's Saul laying flat on his face saying, preacher, just tell me one more time what to do and I'll do it. Preacher, just lift your voice one more time and tell me how that I ought to go, what direction I need to take my soul. My life is at stake. And not only my life, but my children are at stake. Their lives are at stake as well. We're surrounded by the enemy. Preacher, help us. Preacher, help me. Preacher, do something. Help me, preacher, help me. And the preacher said, it's over. Tomorrow, you will be exactly where I am. You'll be with me in the grave. It's over. And the door to heaven was slammed shut. And the trap door to eternity was pulled. And Saul fell headlong into eternity, listening to the voice and the echoes of a preacher. All the way. If it were so simple, but it's not over. Because if you don't pay attention to the real life preacher, and if you don't pay attention to the conscience preacher, you see that real life preacher, he used to preach things and it used to stir you up. It don't stir you up anymore. But your conscience is sitting there saying, and you keep trying to suppress it. Just go away. You're telling yourself right now, just another few minutes and I can get out of here. Another few minutes and I'll be away. I can take a breath and I can get away. That you are putting your conscience in an ICU ward. Your conscience has got a hold of you and is shaking you, saying, listen. Listen, listen. Your conscience is on bending knees pleading with you. Please listen. You're on the wrong road, headed the wrong way. Listen. And you constantly suppress it. Hush. I'll do it some other time. I'll go a different way. I'll do this. But you know, if you happen to be lost, this preacher and his voice is going to echo in the halls of your mind throughout all of eternity. The pastor that sits over here on the second row that preached to you for 27 years, his voice is going to constantly replay and replay and replay and replay in your mind. Every message that he preached, you may have forgot it in life, but you're going to remember it in eternity. You're going to remember the times that he pleaded for you and reached for you. You're going to remember the times that I pleaded for you and I reached for you. And your conscience, alive and well, is going to be screaming at you, I told you so. If you would have just listened, if you would have just paid attention, you wouldn't be where you are today. Would you listen? Would you listen to the voice of the preacher today? As two preachers preach to you this morning, would you listen? As the voice of your pastor preaches unto you and reaches for you, would you listen? And as the voice of your conscience says, yes, 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 this is what you need. Now, it's time to go to the altar. It's time to go to the altar. Would you listen to that conscience? Or are you going to be one that's going to suppress it and put it under your feet? Hush. I got things I want to do, places I want to go, people I want to meet, things I want in my life. Stop it. Quit. Hush. The day that preacher's finally going to breathe his last breath until eternity. Let's stand here this morning. Don't let your preacher die. Don't let your preacher die. You need to come up to an altar this morning and you need to bring your conscience and you need to lay it on the altar before the Lord and you need to say, God, resurrect this preacher. God, let him be sensitive. Let him talk to me. Let him preach to me. Let him scream in my ears and let me be sensitive to it. Let me hear it, God. Breathe into that preacher the breath of life, Lord. Don't ever let my conscience go silent on me. Don't ever let me feel comfortable, amen, doing the things that I have done. Don't ever let me feel like I'm okay, amen, saying the things that I've said, going the places that I've had, having the conversations that I have had. Don't let me be comfortable with it, God, but awaken me. Awaken my conscience, God, and I'll let my conscience preach. Preach. Keep me awake. Don't let me sleep comfortable because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost forever. I don't want to be lost. I got to be saved. The rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, and being in such torment, hell's not going to be fun. Hell's not going to be joyful and glorious. Being in such torment, he lifted up his voice. He said, send the preacher. raise Lazarus up and send him to my brothers, that he would preach to them and tell them, don't come to this awful place. Lord said, no, they've got their preachers and their prophets now. If they won't hear the ones that are alive, they're not going to hear. Though someone rose from the dead. Come on, there's some things that you need to take consideration of. There's some things that your conscience has been preaching to you here of late. You've been trying to quieten them down. Go away. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. You're not welcome here. Come on, I'm talking to you. You need to come down to this altar. You need to find a place and say, oh, number one, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Come on, you need to get right. Come on, that's your conscience. That's your conscience talking to you, dealing with you, trying to awaken you. Don't shake it off. Oh, don't shake it off. Shaking it off is squelching that conscience. Shaking it off, amen, is just walking away from that conscience that's in an intensive care unit on life support. You just ignore them and just walk away. But only you can bring life back to it. Only you can come back. Say, God, don't let him die. Don't let my conscience die. Don't let my conscience be seared with a hot iron, that I would believe a lie and go to hell. You get to the place that you're okay, everything's right, it doesn't matter. Well, I just don't understand. The Bible said that the natural man understandeth not the things of God. They are foolishness unto him. Even though it may be foolishness unto you, it doesn't mean that it's not right. It's still right. It's still the way. It's still Bible. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.